Okay, real talk. We all have embarrassing moments in the bedroom. You know, like gas, bloating, indigestion, and more. And I hear from so many of you with stomach issues, and it's keeping you from the pleasure you so rightly deserve. Well, I got some great news. While studies show that gut issues directly impact our arousal, erections, and overall sexual health, I got a game changer for your overall wellness. Introducing Just Thrive Probiotic. It is my secret weapon for overall health and the fuel for my sex life. Just Thrive Probiotic isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is a clinically proven game changer, a gut superhero designed to up-level your passion and sex life. So no more embarrassing moments, only a life of gut-powered ecstasy. That sounds good, right? It's the first probiotic formulated with four ancestral survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. This probiotic is like your personal gut gardener, maintaining the health of your gut by eliminating bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and replenishing the good, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. With Just Thrive, you'll nourish your gut microbiome, fueling your mind, body, and soul. So say hello to increased libido, enhanced pleasure, and a whole new level of satisfaction. Oh, don't miss my episode, Why Gut Health is Sexy with Tina Anderson, where you can learn more about this groundbreaking company. For a limited time, you can try Just Thrive 100% risk-free by visiting justthrivehealth.com and enter promo code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to save 20% off on a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic. So take charge of your gut health, take charge of your sex life, and live your healthiest life yet with Just Thrive.
If somebody has an active fantasy life, they typically do fantasize about past sexual partners. And so I do not think it's cheating. But everyone gets to decide what cheating is in their relationship, but someone can't tell you that you're not allowed to fantasize about something. Now, there's two kinds of fantasies. Remember this, Doc. There's the fantasies that we want to actually happen in real life that we want to share with the partner, like, I think it'd be fun to enact this. And then there's fantasies that we just want to keep to ourselves. And they're all okay. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone who can read your mind and anticipate your needs 24/7? And then, not only that, they fulfill them perfectly? Yeah, me neither. The truth is, deep relationships require deep communication skills. And the most important skill is this: being able to articulate what you need, sexually and otherwise. The result? Way healthier relationship dynamics and relationships. So on today's Ask Emily show, I give you communication tools to put in your back pocket so you can improve your relationship one talk at a time. So what about when you're tired of hookups and want a relationship with real depth? Or maybe you want more than one relationship? Well, I talk you through ways to approach both. I also talk about getting the kind of touch you need in bed because, let's face it, sometimes pain is fun and sometimes it's just painful. With the right communication, you can find just the right sweet spot. Intentions with Emily for each episode. Join me in setting an intention for the show. What do you want to get out of this episode? How can it help you? Well, my intention is to give you the tools to fix and maintain your relationships no matter what you're looking for in a partner. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. And my new article, Ask Emily, How Do I Attract a Healthy Relationship, is up at sexwithemily.com. Also, please check out my YouTube channel for more sex tips and advice. If you want to ask me a question, just call my hotline 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Leave me your questions there or just message me, sexwithemily.com/askemily. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. We have Hunter. She's 20 in Michigan.
Hi.
Hunter, what's up?
I am so excited to talk with you. I've been listening to your podcast for so long. You are one of my role models. I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm so happy to talk to you. Hi, Hunter, from my home state.
Yes. I guess my problem is, or maybe it's not a problem, you can tell me, I'm unable to have a roster or to casually date multiple people at the same time. I've tried, and in the beginning, it's empowering and it's fun flirting with all these guys. But then I either lose interest in all of them very quickly, which I'm known for, or I catch feelings for one person and I hyperfixate on them and can no longer talk to anyone else. And it almost feels inauthentic when I do try to talk to other people.
Okay. That's okay though. I mean, I think that you're figuring out your way right now. It works for you. There's no prescriptions here. No one says that every single person has to want to casually date and have a roster of men or women lined up. And for some people, that just doesn't work for them. For some people, they want to have security and safety and they want to trust someone. They want to have a relationship that they could build on over time. And that's, you know, where we can have a lot better sex too, when we're with somebody that we trust, is invested in our pleasure and we're invested in their pleasure. And that's totally fine that you do you. I don't think that there's anything wrong with wanting that, but it can also be exhausting. And maybe what you're craving now is you kind of want a connection with somebody.
Definitely. And it's tough because I go to a very big school, a big party school. So hookup culture is very prevalent. So I feel the expectation is to have this roster when it's like, I don't want to just casually hook up with someone. I need that like intimate connection. So I almost feel like it's this like pressure to have this roster when it just, I tried and it just is not for me.
I'm hearing from this from so many more women, Hunter, and men, that there is this expectation, hookup culture, you got to do it. It makes you cool. We're going to get blackout drunk and we're going to go sleep with a bunch of guys. And it's very empowering. But is it? Like, do you remember it? Does it feel good? Are they going down on you? Are you having orgasms? And so I would love you to just be that person with your friends and say, it's not for me. If you start telling guys, nope, not for me, not looking for that anymore, I tried it, it's not my thing, and you just start advocating for what you want, I think that you're going to, first off, it's going to be very empowering, and you're also going to be setting an example for others that, you know, this is what works. I think you'll give people, other people permission to pave their own way and to figure out what they want. I mean, that's how it was when I went to college. There was no casual sex. Like, if you had casual sex, you were slutty. You were judged. People talked about you forever. Like, oh, she slept with everyone at the frat party. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. You just couldn't do it. And now the pendulum swung with this hookup culture, and maybe it's going back the other way or somewhere to the middle, where I don't think it was right either way. Like, I think it should have been okay to experiment. Mm-hmm. It was so strict. But now the fact that you're telling me it's totally gone the other way, where it's, you are judged or you're seen as, I don't know, needy or something if you want a partner.
Like, guys think I'm like too intense, or some people think that I'm immature not participating in hookup culture. Like, for some reason it makes me like this immature person. I'm like, no, if anything, I should be deemed more mature that I understand my relationship with sex and I'm sticking to that.
Yeah.
And it's difficult because typically the guys that I'm attracted to are the guys who are hooking up with all these girls, and the guys who want to date me and who respect the fact that I won't sleep with them the first night, I'm not attracted to them.
Exactly. This is a dynamic that happens. It's because also the men, they're in different places. It's a lot harder for men because we're much more connected and we communicate with our friends and we talk about all these things. Where guys in college, they're 20, first time away from home. It's what all of their friends are doing. And so they don't really have a conditioning. They don't really have an understanding around what it means to be in a relationship, and they're doing what their friends are doing. They don't have the same level of dialogue and trust with their friends. Mm-hmm. Not all, but some.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is a classic, like, welcome all the guys I like, don't like me, and the ones I don't like. It's just, dude, that's totally been going on since the beginning of time, and that's going to change. That dynamic is going to shift and change. I know this, and I promise you. And I feel like it is changing because I've been hearing this from a lot of college students, and so I think you know what you want. And I think that's really intimidating, and I think that could be really attractive to some, but also intimidating to others. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't keep doing you.
Yeah.
And all the while you're still working on yourself and masturbating and making sure that you're giving yourself pleasure and figuring out your body. So when you do meet somebody, it's pleasurable for you as well.
Mm-hmm. No, you're definitely right. And I know in my gut that when these guys do give me a hard time and like make almost like fun of me for not wanting to sleep with them, I know that they're wrong. But there's also that part of me that's like I'm in college, like I want to have fun. All my friends are doing this and doing that. So I guess
I totally got it. And is it fun though? Like, what you're saying is it wasn't fun for you. You know, it wasn't fun.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it's fun for them, but like some of my friends like to go out and play tennis or go I don't know, whatever it is. There's certain things that I don't like that are not fun for me, that sound like a nightmare. And so we all get to define what fun is. We all get to decide what works for us. And so I also think, again, that is the script. That is what everyone's doing. And you guys all just got to college and what you were home in pandemic last year. And it's like free for all. And this is what people have been doing the last few years in college, is going out and hooking up. But I think that you're going to see the pendulum swing when you get like maybe your junior year, senior year. Mm-hmm. It starts to change a little
right
bit.
Now, you're junior? Okay. A little bit. But still, you know, I still feel like a lot of guys are like, I'm in college, only been here once. Like, the person who has the most amount of bodies, like, that's the coolest guy. We got to try to be like him. And it's
they're
like,
not the coolest guy.
So mature. Okay.
I should come talk to college campuses. I really should. I've been wanting to say, just because you've been with more people,
I would love to
come, because literally it's a disaster. The fact that it's still a thing, your body count, you shouldn't even, it just means that you're somebody you can go out and bang a bunch of people. It does not mean that you are a good lover, that you're having quality sex, that you understand pleasure, your body, but you guys are still like young and on the path of discovery. So
would you say, let's say I do start really liking someone and I'm texting them a lot, is it healthy though to also maybe keep the door open for a couple other people and not put all your eggs in one basket?
Yes. I think that's important. I think always put, until it's locked down, I would still say go out. You don't have to sleep with them, but still flirt. Unless you are committed and you've had the conversation, just assume that everyone's sleeping with other people until you have the conversation. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay to like someone, because then because what you told me early on, to go back to that, is you were saying that you get this laser focused. Yes. I think you're really healthy. And what you're realizing is the counter to that is when you know you get laser focused, and I tell everyone this, my friends this too, is keep dating, keep swiping, keep meeting people. While you met someone you like, that's not locked down yet. And there's something to be said for having your attention spread out, only because it helps you and compare and see if you're really into this person. So yes, I think you're making all the right choices now. I think you are making very mature, healthy choices, and
thank
all for
you
it.
Very much.
Of course, yes, I'm Team you. Hunter.
I wanted to talk to you for so long, and this was very therapeutic. So I'm very appreciative.
I'm so glad, Hunter. I will. I'm going to. I will.
Please.
I love that idea. Okay,
thank
Hunter.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful
thank
night.
Thank you so much. Keep doing you. You too. Bye.
Oh,
have
Bye.
A great night. Bye. I know it's really hard to tell a bunch of people that we're all doing the same thing. We all want to follow herd mentality. And if everyone else is hooking up with it, what am I going to be the one with the commitment or do something different? But yes, I love that Hunter knows her own body and knows what she wants. And she's listening to what she wants and not going along with everyone else. And I invite everybody to take a look. If you wholeheartedly want to be dating and do hookup culture, there is zero judgment here. Hookup culture exists for a reason, and I understand that. Like I said, when I went to college, this is my dog. Hi, baby girl. When I went to college, it was much more restrictive. Like, literally, you couldn't hook up with people. Do you guys see my doggy? If you're looking at the video, she's little white paws. She's the cutest. But you couldn't do it. So now I like that there's options. But what I'm hearing is we should all give people, go easy on them. And I hope that there's more dudes. If you are a woman now in college, or you're a guy in college, send this to your friends so they can hear that it's okay to do what you want to do for you when you want to do it. And don't be following the scripts of college and all those things. Just because you're sleeping with a lot of people doesn't mean that it's really fun and really pleasurable. That's what I got for you. We have Anna, 25, in Chicago. Oh, hi, Anna.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. How can I help?
I called in because I hear you talking about and advertising all of these exciting lubes, and it's something that I want to integrate into my sex life, but I have a very sensitive skin. I have a very sensitive vagina. I deal with chronic imbalances, and my general rule of thumb is like, if it smells like strawberries, it probably shouldn't go down there. So I hear you advertising this stuff and advertising it as used for oral, and I'm just like, I need more information about that. Am I allowed to use it for oral? For who oral?
Well, it's a great question, because the flavor lube that I talk about by System Joe is a lube that actually is a really, it's a body safe lube that is made with ingredients that are okay to put with you and to put inside of you internally. And you could try the System Joe lube and spot check it and see if you have a reaction to it. You know, you could just try it for some oral and buy it to see like, oh, is anything happening, and see if you have a reaction to it. But if you are super sensitive and you already know this, I would recommend something like Foria, because Foria is a CBD lube that has just only two ingredients, CBD and coconut oil.
And it also has properties in it where CBD can really help with pain. It can help you relax. It can help get you in the mood. It can, you know, lead to stronger orgasms. And that is unlikely to cause you to have any, and it's all organic, so it's unlikely to cause you any infections or pain. Pure, P-J-U-R, also has some sensitive lubes. They have one called Pure Med Sensitive. It's P-J-U-R, and it's their MED sensitive line. And so that could also be one that you might want to check out. And so I think it's great that you know your body, and I would check those out.
Cool, thanks. When you look
this stuff up,
there's so much information about what kinds of lubes to use with toys and with condoms and not. So the coconut oil condom, is it okay? Is it like condom safe?
It's coconut oil is condom safe, but it's actually not safe for toys. So I would recommend that a water-based lube, I would recommend the Pure Med, the water-based for your toys. And I would recommend the coconut oil for everything else. There's also, you might want to try, although this isn't good for your toys, but silicone lube is another lube I'd recommend. It's one ingredient. It's silicone. And so if your body can tolerate silicone, it's slippery, it lasts a lot longer, and you're not supposed to use it with silicone toys because it can break, silicone can break down silicone. But water-based is good for everything all around. And the flavored lubes are water-based. So we don't want you to have any sensitivities. Although I think it's, I feel good about their products, but why not just be safe? You know yourself. You know your body.
Cool. Thank you.
Oh my God, you're so welcome. It's a great question. You know my dream is a lube on every nightstand. So I love answering a lube question.
Fun. Well, it's nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you too. Bye, Anna. Good to see you. Yeah, you guys, I love lube. I love lube. God, have I told you how much I love lube lately? And I love a lube question because it is confusing. There's so many lubes out there and all of our bodies are different. I wish there was a one lube fits all, one size fits all lube that's for everybody. But that doesn't exist yet. So I do feel good about coconut oil and one ingredient and like silicone, but just remember to experiment. And sometimes our bodies change. Sometimes certain times a month, things can affect us differently, but whatever you do, whatever kind you get, I'm just happy that you're all using lube because lube makes sex better. All sex with yourself, sex with a partner, sex with a toy. So be sure to use lube. Put it on your nightstand right there, like me. Well, I have like six on my nightstand, but you only need one. After the break, I talked to Doc, who's got a question about polyamory. All this and more after this quick word from our sponsors. I've been answering questions and exploring everything related to sexuality for more than 15 years. So I've tried out a lot of different products, but there's one thing that seriously elevated my pleasure. It's using CBD during sex, specifically Foria. I've been loving their products for a while, but I'm not the only one. GQ called Foria the best sex product of the year, and Shape said their products were the best invention since the vibrator. Listen, their sex and intimacy collection includes amazing bath salts, suppositories, which enhance arousal and relieve tension, CBD-enriched Awaken arousal oil, which I love to use as part of my warm-up to get me really turned on. I always use it. It is on my nightstand. And an amazing clean lube called Sex Oil that's made with just two organically grown ingredients, organic coconut oil and CBD. This whole collection is designed to lubricate, soothe, and excite. Listen, what goes on your body is absorbed by your body, which is why Foria's products are always all natural and free of added chemicals. Now, that's clean. Their entire intimacy collection is enriched with organic botanicals and CBD to help enhance pleasure, ease discomfort, and close the orgasm gap. For those who don't know, the orgasm gap means heterosexual men statistically have 20 to 50% more orgasms during sex than their female partners. Foria's products are known to sell out, so make sure to get your hands on a bottle of sex oil before it's too late. Foria is offering a special offer for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order with code Emily. Visit sexwithemily.com/Foria. That's F-O-R-I-A. sexwithemily.com/Foria with code Emily for 20% off your first order. We have Doc 26 in Massachusetts. Hi, Doc.
Hello, Dr. Emily.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. In your opinion, is thinking about other sexual partners or fantasizing about them cheating?
I personally don't believe that it is because having, we all fantasize about, men. If somebody has an active fantasy life, they typically do fantasize about past sexual partners. It's really common. And so I do not think it's cheating. But everyone gets to decide what cheating is in their relationship, but someone can't tell you that you're not allowed to fantasize about something. Now, there's two kinds of fantasies. Remember this, Doc. There's the fantasies that we want to actually happen in real life that we want to share with the partner. Like, I think it'd be fun to enact this. And then there's fantasies that we just want to keep to ourselves. And they're all okay. There's no thought police. There's nobody that's coming in and saying, you're wrong, Doc. Here's a ticket. You know, you're going to jail for that terrible thought. So I think that it's totally healthy. And now if you are only fantasizing about your exes or former partners when you're with your current partner and your current partner isn't turning you on, and that's a whole other conversation. It's not wrong to fantasize about a past partner in that case, but still, then you're getting more information. What is it about my current partner that isn't turning me on? But I'm not sure if you're asking that.
Well, in general, yeah, not necessarily partners specifically, but just thinking about other women sexually. I've had someone tell me that they consider that to be cheating. And the way I see it was, okay, I get that it may be cheating to you, but I feel like it may also come from a place of ignorance, because it's like you can't control your thoughts. And just to make someone feel bad because of what they think can sometimes be abusive. In a twisted way.
I think so too. Yeah. So I think you're right. I totally think that this is a typical, and I hear this all the time, actually, that people's partners get really offended by their partners fantasizing about someone else. So the counter to that is that it's very common. So I just wanted to normalize that too for listeners who are like, yeah, if my boyfriend's or my girlfriend's thinking about somebody else, then it's over and it's cheating. You shouldn't feel bad about it, and they have a judgment around it. But I also think it does have to do with not having a lot of information and accurate information about sex education, understanding that fantasies are going to happen. You really can't control what you fantasize about, you know, and I think it's okay to think about whatever you want to think about. And I think that what we're hearing here is that you want to be with a partner who's more open sexually, who understands, you know, that fantasies are a fantasy life and it's part of being sexually healthy overall. And I used to, you know, get offended in my 20s if my partner watched porn in my early 20s. I didn't understand it. I was like, how? And it's similar. I was like, you're watching porn? Yeah. Like, does that mean you want me to look like her? But now I understand that it's part of being sexually healthy, is that we all have our own things that turn us on.
I love that you brought this up about the porn. It's always been a thing within almost all of my relationships where I would ask them, what kind of porn do you watch? What kind of porn are you into? And I realized that most women tend to be very self-conscious about what porn they watch. They're very closed off when it comes to that. And I feel like it's huge. It's one of those things that can and most likely will bring you guys together. Oh, it's a good opening into speaking about your fantasies and speaking about what you may prefer or love.
It's really true. Enjoy. I mean, we have to understand too that where women are coming from, that there's so much shame and stigma around women being sexual because we're called sluts or we're called, you know, prude. And there's all these ways that women just can't win. And so we are told if we express ourselves sexually, if we watch porn and we ask for what we want, then we're going to be shamed for that. I'm trying to change that. I think a lot of people who are interested in learning more about what actually is okay don't feel that way, but it has been for a long time a common held belief that women, if they admit to watching porn or they even watch porn, that there's something wrong with them, that they're going to be shamed. And
it's ingrained so deeply.
Women have been repressed in this way for so, so long. And I'm really hoping to change that conversation. So hopefully when you're with women like this, you can say, I want to tell you that if you do watch porn or you do a fantasies, I think that's really hot. And I encourage you to do that. And I think it's really sexy. And I'm not someone who's going to shame you for that. And I think that the more men we have that could sort of toe that line and be open about it and be more supportive of women, then that would be, you know, the world I want to live in. I don't know about you.
So. Yeah.
But I think that's what you're coming up against. They just don't know. They just haven't been out there. They haven't been listening to this podcast. They haven't, their friends are the same way. So that's really it. Really.
I've been sending it to everyone. I've literally been sending it to everyone because we need to speak about this. We need to speak about sex. But is it possible for a mentally healthy woman to be polyamorous or to be poly in general?
Yeah, I think that polyamory could be for any kind of human.
So the observation that I have personally made has been that I've encountered in my life, most women that are open to polyamorous relationships or open relationships, they tend to be open to it because of some kind of issue that they have, psychologically speaking, that makes them not want to be with just one person because of some kind of blockage. As in, it's not like it's their first desire to want some, like, multiple people. It's more so of a defense mechanism is what I've seen happen a lot.
I think that being in a polyamorous relationship takes practice. It takes sophistication. It takes really understanding who you are. Maybe you've been with one partner and you've been committed. You thought, you know what? I'd really like to go out and experiment with other people and not have a committed relationship right now because that's how my lifestyle is, or I don't have time for it right now. But I haven't seen a trend. You know, it's kind of like saying, oh, everyone who's a sex worker has been abused, right? So I just don't think that's true either. I just think that there are some women who might say that you've come across and say, oh, I'm just going to be polyamorous because I have commitment issues or I have intimacy issues. And, you know, maybe that's the case too. But people who genuinely want to be open or typically have experience in committed relationships and have found that it's just something that they'd like to open up and have healthy relationships with multiple people at once. So, yeah. I don't think that. I think that there are some people who do it as a default too, because they're like, oh, well, I'm just doing it for my partner, or I'm doing it to seem cool, or I'm just going to do it, but it really doesn't sit well with them. So all these things. I got it. It sounds like you're on a path here and you're learning and discovering. And I think that there's a lot to understand about polyamory and open relationships, but I'd be wary of like casting judgment on a whole swath of women who want one thing that is just not necessarily true. Everyone's going to come to polyamory or any kind of relationship from their own upbringing, their own place, their own life experiences. So yeah, just keep having these conversations. Turn more women onto this podcast. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much.
Have a great night.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Bye. But let's talk about open relationships for a minute. There's a lot of young people now saying that they want to be open, people who have never actually been in a committed relationship. And there's zero judgment on that. It's just that it takes a lot of skills. Remember, I was talking about those relationship skills, which is something that we are not taught. Anywhere. We're not taught in school. We're not taught through our partners. We have to learn how to be excellent communicators. We have to learn how to trust, how to be honest, how to communicate our needs, how to express jealousy, how to transcend jealousy. The couples I know that are in healthy, open relationships practice this rigorous honesty that is really beyond, so that is not something that is for the faint of heart. And it's with a partner that can actually hear you, and you adapt and you adjust, and people who are open have rules and they have boundaries, and they continually talk about them and they update them and they process and they overprocess. It's not just a matter of saying, I want to have sexual partners and I want to be with you, but, oh, I won't be home Friday because I met a hot person at the bar and I won't be home. It's not reckless. It's actually thoughtful and heartfelt and caring, and it comes from a loving place, not a I'm just going to go sleep with people and I'm going to get jealous and this is going to be just another way for me to get my needs met and not really care about your partner. But people I do know who engage in it in a healthy way continue to grow together, and it can work out. So it's not some crazy notion, but you have to have a certain skill set in place. All right. We have Addie, 25, in Philadelphia. Hi, Addie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for meeting with me.
Of course. How can I help you?
I listened to your podcast on love languages and it got me thinking. So I'd say my love languages are definitely quality time and physical touch. And my boyfriend's just so different than me, which is fine. But I guess I'm having a little bit of trouble. So I've been trying to ask him or talk to him about what helps me feel more loved. And I have had minimal results so far. I'll tell him what he could maybe do to make me feel more loved, but then I'll actually ask him too, what can I do? And so far he says, nothing, you're doing everything perfectly and you don't need to change, which makes me feel terrible for asking a bunch from him. So I guess I want to know how I can approach it where I'm not making him just feel bad about everything.
Okay. Well, it sounds to me like you're both feeling bad.
I guess
you feel bad and he feels bad. But I just want to normalize this for you, Addie, that relationship skills is not something that we are born with. We have to learn them. Like, we have to learn them in every relationship. And I want to normalize that whenever we talk to our partners about changes that we want to see in our relationships or our sex life, we're going to be met with some pushback because it comes from this fear of being a bad person, of disappointing a partner, the fact that we've never heard anybody else talk about sex. So when someone does or relationship stuff or make a request that we're like, oh God, my biggest fear just came true. I'm a bad lover. I'm a bad partner. Mm-hmm. It's important to emphasize that because, and for everybody listening, that it's okay. This is what happens. And so now I think it would make sense that
his first reaction. And, you know, we're all different. Exactly. You're not saying that you're not happy. You just know a little bit more about relationships are constantly improving. There's no such thing as a relationship that isn't always evolving and growing. And when they stagnate, that's when they become less interesting and problems evolve. We're evolving every day as humans. I think he probably doesn't even have language about it. In his mind, he probably doesn't have anything to say. Like, he really has never thought about it. He's like, this is great. I love you. We're living together. First off, did he take the love language quiz? Do we know what his are?
Yes. And I did have him take it. He's acts of service, which I do see that all the time. He's always doing things for me. It's just not the best way for me to receive it, but I do see it's there.
And are you giving him acts of service?
Yeah, I'm trying to. At first, I'd say I was giving love in the same way I wanted it to be received, but he wasn't receiving it well. So I tried to dial back and give it more like he would want it.
Okay, so you're really trying and he's just not getting that. Have you given him examples of what it looks like for you to get your love languages met? Like, I mean, maybe you could tell me, what would feel good to you? Like, let's practice. What are the examples? How do you think you'd feel more love from him?
So I would just feel the most love just first by physical touch, just random hugs throughout the day, random kisses, everything like that, holding hands. And then just getting to hear that I am loved, just because, I don't know, I know it's there, but I need to hear it, to hear that I'm loved and appreciated.
Okay. And so maybe you could just let him know that this is nothing that you're doing wrong per se. This is something that I'm learning about myself. And this is something that would make me feel more connected to you. And just breaking down the concept of the love languages that we give what we want to receive, you know, all day long, he could be changing your tires and filling your car with gas and helping you with bills or anything around the house. And it's an act of service. But again, for you, it just doesn't fill you up in that way. So really, we're just talking about education.
Yeah, mentally.
He just might not be ready and open to it. He might just think it's too painful for me. I feel like I'm a bad person and feedback makes me feel horrible. Maybe growing up, if he ever got feedback from his parents, it made him feel really bad. Maybe they were hard on him. I'm just guessing. So he doesn't have any experience with personal growth.
And he did share that. Because I shared what exactly I wanted from him. And he said, just when there's too many things that I'm asking of him, it just makes him feel like he's inadequate, like a bad boyfriend, which kind of makes him shut down.
Okay. So you could say, I just want to reinforce, tell him all the things you love about him. So you could say the reason why I'm having these conversations with you and why I think it's important is because I think you're an amazing boyfriend. And here's the ways that we could even grow stronger. We have to keep growing together. You know, again, I just want to normalize that relationships are about growth. But in relationships, we're so protected because it's so vulnerable. It speaks to this part of ourself that we feel we're not lovable, we're not enough, and that you're going to just leave him and he's a bad person. And he probably goes to that I'm a bad person in a lot of other areas of his life, because usually how we do one thing is how we do everything. And so it's just a matter of seeing if he can meet you there right now, if it's just he's just not there yet. And some people are never there. What you want is valid. You're not doing anything wrong.
Okay? Thank you. I really appreciate the advice.
Of course. I hope that helps, Addie.
Thank you so much. I love your show.
Of course, Addie. Thank you so much. It's so good to see you. And let me know how it goes, okay? I'll be here for you.
Okay, I will. Bye.
Bye. Sometimes we're not at the same place as our partner. I would like to say it's something in your 20s, but believe me, there's people in their 30s and 40s who just, everything's fine. I don't want to really upset the status quo. I can't take feedback. It makes you defensive, or it makes somebody, you know, just feel wronged in a deeply wounded place that they just won't be able to meet you where you're at. And nobody's wrong in these situations. It just means that it's a lesson for you. It's giving you more information. I like to say that all of these roadblocks we hit with a partner are giving you more information that we continue to gather. And at some point you get to say, all right, this is actually something that's important to me. And if I'm with a partner that doesn't have a growth mindset around relationship skills or around sex, now I'm learning that this just, it might be a deal breaker for me. And this is going to be a requirement in my next partner. Because it's just like everything. It's like people in recovery, like you can't get someone to stop drinking. You can't get someone to start working out. And you can't get someone to want to talk and emotionally evolve. So check in with yourself right now. What kind of relationship skills are important to you? And what kind of traits are you looking for in a partner? And do you have that now? And if you don't, time to evaluate that and make some choices for your future. When we come back, I'm talking to Catherine, who wants to know how to teach her young daughter about sex and self-confidence. Be right back. Okay, everyone, be real with me for a second. Do you use a vibrator for partner play? Well, if you've never tried that before, or if you have and love it, I've got a fun idea for you, a couples vibrator. Dame Products is one of my go-to sex toy companies, and they make a fantastic toy designed for exactly this purpose. It's called the Eva. It's so good. It's made with flexible wings that tuck under your labia, giving you clitoral stimulation during penetration. Now, that's helpful, isn't it? One of the best parts of my job is giving folks advice on sex toys, especially when it's an opportunity to close the orgasm gap. You know, the studies pointing out how often penis owners experience orgasm compared to vulva owners. It's a wide disparity, trust me. And that's precisely why Dame was invented, to make orgasms and pleasure more accessible to all. I also want to give a shout out to Dame for their flexible vibrator, the Palm, because wow, this thing covers some solid vulva real estate. Because it has no internal body, it's totally flexible while vibrating. So you can bend it exactly how you want for totally targeted pleasure. It's so good. So check out the Eva, the Palm, and all of Dame's vibrators and accessories made with medical grade silicone, smart design principles, and lots of love. Best part? Dame offers hassle-free returns within 60 days, so your satisfaction is literally guaranteed. Go to dameproducts.com/sexwithemily today for 10% off. That's D-A-M-E, products.com/sexwithemily for 10% off. We're going to talk to Catherine, who's 33 years old. Hey, Catherine.
Hi, Dr. Emily.
Hi, how are you? So good to talk to you.
Oh my God, it's so good to talk to you. Huge fan. I've been listening to you for like over a year and like you've helped me so much. So I have a 5-year-old daughter. I'm 33 years old and I want to raise her in a positive, I want to have good positive sex education with her. You know, I want her to talk about, I want to talk about everything and let her know that it's okay. Because I was raised that masturbation was gross. Having sex with more than one person made you a whore. And of course, sex before marriage, all that, you know, I never believed in that, but it was always there. And I don't want her to be raised that way. So I don't know how to talk to her about all that because I was never talked about it either. So there's that, but it's also like the confidence wise, like how do I talk to her about being confident in her, in herself? If I'm not even confident either with, I have very low self-esteem too. You know, I wear a wig and that was just recent when the whole pandemic happened. I started wearing a wig and nobody knows. And now it's hard to like even get intimate with anybody. Cause the whole time I'm afraid, I'm like, oh my God, do they see that it's a wig? Is it going to come off? I had somebody who tried to pull it and I was like, don't touch my hair.
Well, let me say this. It's a great question. And let me just say this, that body confidence and self-confidence is a journey. It is not a destination. It is a lifelong process of learning to be confident. You don't just get there one day and say, I'm fully confident and I never have insecurities. That is just, I would just love to change that perception within everyone's mind. So you can still teach your daughter how to have boundaries, how to have consent, how to name her parts. The more information you give her about, first off, naming her body parts, telling her vulva, her clitoris, like teaching her what everything is. If you see her touching herself, you say, doesn't that feel good? It does feel good. Remember, you're the only person that's allowed to touch you. And it's best to do it in your room. And we know if she's touching herself at the Safeway, you know, you have to say like at the drugstore, you'd be like, okay, let's do that when we get home. And not, you know, trying to keep body positive messages around the house and encouraging her for, you know, things beyond her looks and, you know, value, you know, having her not value just those kind of things. I think that was in our culture was like seeing pictures in magazines and aspiring all, you know, I have a friend who had young kids and she tried to keep magazines out of her house. Like she tried to keep like beauty magazines and be like, so the daughter wouldn't get that message. But eventually, you know, kids grow up and you can't protect them from the world, but you can, you know, continue to tell her. I think the more honest you are about how you've had to learn confidence. And I think that seeing it modeled by you is a really important thing that you could see. You could even,
Like, I have negative self-talk. That's one of my challenges, right? I'll be like, oh, I'm such an idiot. And I do that, and then I notice that I do it. And so I might say, oh, God, why am I doing that? And then if you do that, you could say, see, mommy does that sometimes too, but I love myself. That's a habit that I do. And I really do. You know, today I was a really good, I got up, I went to work, I volunteered. And like, you know what I'm saying? Like, showing her the ways that you do love yourself will be such a great learning for you and for your daughter at the same time. And even the fact that you're asking this question, that you have a consciousness around it, means that it's going to happen. Like, so many people don't even think like this. They don't even have the intent. I mean, if that happens, if in front of her, you are not feeling the most confident one day. And I think that sharing that with her and just continuing to, you know, encourage her to make good choices about her body, to make good choices about friends, explaining to her what it means like to be in a toxic relationship or toxic friendships, you know, just teaching her those relationship and life skills that we are, none of us were taught.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Is that helpful?
It is. And thankfully I do that, you know, once in a while I will tell her all of that, but she knows I'm extremely like with my hair. Cause I used to have the most like full hair, and then COVID hit and I have nothing now and I have to wear a wig. And so she knows that. She knows I'm not taking a picture of you, mom. I'm over here, you know? And
well, see, that's sending, you know, showing a message to her that you don't feel beautiful when your hair isn't.
Oh. When I don't have it on. Yeah. Okay.
So that's, but listen, you know, I think that's really hard because it's new for you now to have to adapt to this part of yourself. And that's not easy. Our hair is it's our feminine, you know, men lose their hair fine, but they still have other, you know, women, we don't have hair. I understand that, but you look beautiful. You have great energy, great spirit. And I think that if you could maybe try to speak more positively about yourself and like, mom looks good today, doesn't she? And just, but like, I never heard my mom talk about aging. Here's an example. I just spent time with her. My mom's 79. And I never heard her say, I feel old, or I feel like my bones hurt, or I got to slow down. And as a result of that, like, I never think about age. And she really doesn't, still doesn't. And I think that we do model things in certain ways. If you are somebody who constantly, you see her saying like, you know, yesterday was a hard day, but I'm really liking how I look. Like, let's take pictures of me. You can even say, yeah, not with the wig off. I wasn't feeling, you know, but now let's take pictures of me, you know, and just being real and trying to, you know, they say that in the best relationships, and I would have to say this extends into life, that it's a 5-to-1 ratio, 5 positive experiences to 1 negative. So maybe that one experience wasn't so great with you with the wig, and maybe that's, I'm just using that as an example. Maybe you could try to pay attention this week to times where you can show her where you are being in your confident place or feeling more empowered or feeling more self-assured, you know, and just teach her those lessons in real time.
Okay. I'll definitely do that. Thank you, Dr. Emily.
Of course.
Okay. So I have a friends with benefits, and I didn't see him for like the whole pandemic. Now that we're like hanging out again, like I said before, he likes to have rough sex and I love it too, you know? And before I tell him, yeah, go ahead and pull my hair, you know, it's great. This time he tried to, and I was like, don't do that. Never told him, you know, he doesn't know. And so I'd be like, don't pull my hair. And all of a sudden he was just like, why? Like, what happened? You know, because before it was fine. And now I'm just like, no, don't. To totally like not even address this question, I was just like, here, let me just give you a blowjob or something, you know? And then another time was like, I didn't want him to be on top of me because I'm like, oh my God, my hair's pulled back. He's going to see, you know, that outline. I ended up just getting on top so he doesn't see. How do I tell him like, hey, this is why you can't pull my hair anymore, even though I loved it?
Oh my God. I think you just got to be honest with him and just say, hey, I had some hair falling out. I had hair falling. You could also just say I had hair falling. My hair is really sensitive right now because I had hair falling out. But I think you should be honest and say right now I'm wearing a wig because my hair fell out and we just can't pull it right now, but you can slap my ass, talk dirty to me, choke, whatever you're into. But I think, gosh, you know, the more we're really honest about the things that embarrass us the most, or we have the most shame for, we are able to easily, we can turn it around. And once we realize that it's not so shameful and we shed light on our darkness, you're going to feel more connected. You're going to feel more loved. It's going to give you more confidence when you can really be honest and open with all your friends and lovers and your daughter.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
I would be honest. All right. Of course. It's so nice to meet you.
Thank you, Dr. Emily. I really appreciate it so much.
Bye, Catherine.
confidence. You guys, listen, and remember, it is really something that we work on throughout our lifetime. If somebody tells you that they're confident all the time, I don't believe that. I don't know how that's possible. We all have things that are going to sort of make us feel more down or dent our ego a bit, or days that we feel less so. And so I just think that it's a really good example to try to be as open and honest with our kids as we can. And I think the more we normalize the struggle of being a human, like normalize the human condition to our kids, like, I'm having a rough day and here's what happened, but tomorrow I'm going to try to be a better person. I'm going to try to make better choices. Or I'm going to try to say better things. You know, we all need that sort of balance in our life, and we all need someone to give you accountability, somebody that you're going to, maybe someone in your home or a friend of yours, to make sure that you're, you know, staying on your own path. And the more that we educate yourself and the more honest we are with ourselves and others, the more confidence we're going to have. Confidence comes from deep insecurities that we are, you know, imposter syndrome, or that we're not really living up to who we are. But I think the more that we are honest about our struggles and share our vulnerabilities, like things about us that we feel shameful about, like we lost our hair, or there's so many things that we worry about. But I promise you that sharing our secrets, we're only as sick as our secrets. And the more that we are able to open up to people that we care about and see that they actually accept us and even love us and respect us more, will allow us to see that, oh, these things that I'm holding on to in shame really don't really blossom in the light. So again, and the people who do judge you for those things are not your people. That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.